Hello and welcome to tonight's teleclass, which is What's Trending in the Organising World. We're going to be looking at what's been happening over the last 12 months and a bit more, and what does that mean for us as organisers. I'm Angela Enoff. This class is part of the Professional Organisers Edge program, and welcome. Also, tonight I will be sharing code words. As always, those code words will help you accumulate your professional development hours so that you can apply for APO accreditation. And I'll let you know how to get those code words at the end of the class. In the meantime, just write them down as I give them to you and you'll know what to do with them later. As I said, I'm Angela Enoff. I've been an organiser for almost 12 years now. I've been sharing my highs and lows and wisdom and the mistakes I've made and what I've learned with other organisers for quite a few years now as well. And that is my greatest passion. I love to see organisers succeed. I love to see all the new things that come along in our industry. When I started 12 years ago, you know, we didn't have specialist areas like student organising and photo organising. Those things have just come in the last little while and we'll talk about them a bit tonight. So why have I chosen this topic tonight? We live in a fast-paced world. There are changes happening all the time and they impact our business. If you don't keep up, you might as well close up. And so it is a really important thing to have a reflection on what's happening in the world at the moment. How does this impact me and my business? And how can I adapt my business so that it keeps up with the pace of things and so on? You know, you don't want to be Kodak when the digital photography comes along. You want to be, you know, somebody else, not Kodak. You don't want to go under like that. So recently, Pantone announced their colour of the year, and it's called greenery. And if you haven't noticed it, Google it. You will instantly recognise the colour. It is very much greenery. And now when you've seen that colour, you will start to notice it everywhere. And just like that, at the trends that I mentioned tonight, you will probably notice, if you haven't already noticed, you'll notice little instances of those things. And you will start to see how you and your business can fit in with those trends. And if you're creative, you'll be able to see where you can develop new services or put in some marketing opportunities and so on. That's my wish for you. Now, tonight I'm going to present or identify six trends and talk about what they mean for us and give you some ideas for services and marketing. Now, remember, not every trend is going to work for every person. Stick to your own style. If you can't see yourself acting on a certain trend, it's not the end of the world. You will be able to adapt some other ones to keep up. You know, obviously you want to be presenting things to your target market that they need and what the things that work for them. So I will pause at the end for Q&A. In the meantime, if you have a question, you know, as I move from one topic to another, I'll pause as well. Sing out if you've got a question. I'm really keen to maybe, you know, explore some of these trends and how they will affect you. So our first trend is environmental awareness. This has obviously been going on for quite a while, but it's growing. It's growing so much that it is now becoming mainstream and not so much of a something that is unusual. It is, you know, you don't have to wear hemp and have dreadlocks to be environmentally aware these days. The great majority of people want to live a more conscious life and consume less and put less into landfill and so on. So what do our clients want? From us, they want specific product solutions. So from time to time, you might find a client who says, I only want, you know, glass. I don't want any plastic in my home. I only want upcycled things. I don't want, you know, things that have been bought brand new. I want to use things from the op shop, things like that. So they'll be looking for recommendations from you about specific products. Your clients will want to adhere to the three R's, reduce, reuse, recycle. And then there's a whole lot of R's, you know, rethink, etc., that you could also look into. And if you're interested in learning more, check out Tanya Lewis's eco-organiser. She talks about 10 R's. If you want, let me know. If you can't find her, I'll send you a link. But Tanya Lewis is an organiser who specialises in eco-organising, and she talks about 10 R's. But most definitely, even the least aware person would know the reduce, reuse, recycle motto, and that's something that we can definitely help them with. Now, not everybody who is looking for help in the environmental area is aware themselves. They might be looking to us for guidance, for help. They might be intending to consume less, intending to reduce, which is the first R, but not know how to do it. And this includes people who hoard, people who maybe have made a habit over a lifetime of collecting too much stuff, now want help to dispose of things in a more conscious way and so on. And in fact, with people who hoard, it can often be a stumbling block, and why they hang on to things is they don't know how to get rid of things. So that's something to consider as well. But of course, as well as people who hoard, there's people who want to move towards minimalism. And again, minimalism is one of those terms that means different things to different people. There's degrees of minimalism, and there's no one right or wrong answer, but we can help people make really good conscious decisions about what stays in their home and so on, and therefore conscious decluttering as well. So what kind of services do we want to offer these people? The upcycle ideas. Now, this can be a service or it can be a marketing opportunity too. If you have a blog going, any kind of social media, use that as an opportunity if you want to tap into this trend of environmental awareness of sharing the greatest, quirkiest, most interesting upcycling ideas. Now, upcycling, if you're not aware, is where you take one object that might have outlived its usefulness in one life and use it in a different way. So, for instance, I have seen some wonderful old vintage suitcases turned into dog beds. So, sure, they can be used as storage as well without any kind of additional craft work involved. But I've seen them used as great little dog beds or as turned into drawers. So, you know, there's lots of things that you can do with upcycling. Another really practical thing that people are looking for and that we can offer is links to charities that are really worthwhile that support our clients' goals and their philosophy in life. So charities who might accept donations, charities who either, you know, support people in need, maybe refugees, children in crisis, you know, people overseas that have, you know, lived through an earthquake, whatever. But if you can tap into and have connections to those charities, those things are really valuable to our clients. If that's what they're looking for, which is a way to get rid of things to ease their conscience, that's something that, that will set you apart from another organiser that they talk to. So that brings us to the end of the environmental awareness trend. I'll give you the code word. The first code word is green. Green. It is a lovely green trend going on with environmental awareness. So any questions about environmental awareness and how we can help our clients with that while I take a sip? No? Okay. Let's move on to the next trend that I want to talk about, and it's almost the opposite of environmental awareness and minimalism, and that is the trend of our fast-paced life. This seems to have affected everyone everywhere. We all, you know, most of us have smartphones, and smartphones create an expectation of immediate answers, being able to shop 24/7, get information 24/7, get attention 24/7. You think about social media and so on. There are no delayed gratifications anymore with you know, smartphones and the internet and so on. So what does this mean for our clients? In general, people these days, compared to, say, 10 years ago, want fast results. They want information at their fingertips. They want to be more productive than ever before. They've got more demands on them before than ever before. And I always think about, you know, I'm old. So when I first went out into the world after high school and I was working in an office, you know, we had letters. We typed a letter and we posted it to somebody, and a day or two later that person would receive the letter. They would consider their response and then they would type a letter and send it back to us. And so it was at least a week turnaround before you got your answer. Can you imagine that attitude working in today's society? I don't think so. So people want, they want results faster and they want shorter sessions. I've noticed this trend a lot now. Seems like because people consider themselves busy and they want to squeeze in, you know, let's get productive but let's make it happen fast. They want to squeeze it into a shorter session. Of course they want the same results. And they often want to work after hours. So consider that. Does that work for you and your business model? If not, that's fine. I don't work after hours myself. But a lot of people these days are expecting it. More people have dual incomes in a household, dual full-time responsibilities outside the home. Therefore, if they're going to get organised at home, they're going to want it to be in their diary, you know, on the weekend, after hours and so on. So what can we do? What can we offer these people who want results fast, etc.? One thing is, the perception of quick results can be delivered by things like 31-day challenges, you know, how to get organised in a week. Those sorts of things, although you and I know that it's to make a real result and a long-lasting one, it does need work. It's often hard for people to see that that's worth their effort to put in. So a way for them to get some quick results and to see some progress and to build trust with you and so on is to give them a short challenge. Now, this is something obviously you could either charge for or give away for free. But a 31-day challenge is a hook that people will get excited about. Yes, I want results. I want them fast. Here I am. You know, take my money or I'll give you my email address and let's get into this. People also want simple processes. They want the answer to, you know, I have this problem with my productivity. Give me some steps to fix this immediately. If you can deliver that, if you can articulate, have a system that works and convey it to people in a way that will get them excited to take the steps, because, you know, that's another one of the challenges is people don't take the time to do the steps we set out for them. If you can give them simple processes, they will be thrilled with your quick result. People also want checklists, simple things like that, something that they can grab and do later, grab and fit into their schedule, you know, maybe 5 minutes a day kind of thing. They also want virtual consultations. Remember I said they're looking for after-hours help? Well, this can often be in the form of virtual consultations. You don't have to drive out on a cold, wet evening in the dark to go and visit a client to help them. You can do it virtually. And it will help. It also fits in with their desire for shorter sessions and more targeted you know, sessions that will give them the quick results. I'm sure that you, as I said, when you're creative, you can come up with some ideas, but keep on that track. I think all of our clients are affected by a more fast-paced life, more expectations from, you know, both parents in a family, more demands on family life these days and so on. Employers typically expect people to work longer hours and often put in, you know, over and above their paid hours. This affects things. They, you know, people are affected by the desire to spend time at home and do a good job at work. How can we help them to achieve all of those things? So, any questions about the fast-paced life trend? No. Okay. Moving on to number three. This one is a lack of skills. Now, I guess this trend's been going on for a while, but you can see it more and more, that people come out of school and out of home life into adulthood with a lack of certain skills. Now, not everybody, obviously, and not everybody is lacking the same skills, but I have to put my hand up and confess that because I was working from, you know, the time my children were quite young, I organised to have someone clean my house and do my ironing. So that's great. It gets the job done for me. But my daughter now claims that she never learnt those skills from me because somebody else came into the house and did them when she wasn't there. So there you go. That's one example of how these trends can occur through no fault of anybody's except that, you know, maybe it was a fast-paced life that got to me. In any case, there are a lot of people now, adults, young adults and older ones, who lack certain skills. And they might be housekeeping skills. They might be decision-making skills. For whatever reason, there's a gap in people's skills these days. People who lack the skills and want to get them, they obviously are wanting to learn. So we can help teach them life skills like decision-making, housekeeping, you know, from meal planning, those sorts of things. People with a lack of skills might also decide, I don't need to learn it, I just need to delegate it. And therefore, they might be looking for done-for-them solutions. That's why we have concierges these days. Somebody else who will go out and organise a birthday party or buy some gifts or supervise some trades while you're at home and so on. So either they're looking to learn the skills themselves or they're looking for done-for-them solutions. But also, I've noticed that parents will often say to me, I don't want my child picking up my bad habits, or I want my child to learn what I didn't learn. So that's where parents want to be able to pass on skills they don't have to their children. So how do we help with our services and so on? We can hold workshops, but we can teach a lot of people. Again, you can have your targeted processes. You can teach a lot of people, not in workshops, but in, the checklists and media posts and things like that. There are also the student and child services. So student organising is becoming more important. Part of the reason also is that there's a pressure for children to do well at school that is growing all the time. So, you know, if they can be seen to have good study skills and so on, then, you know, obviously that's going to help. Being organised is part of being a good student, you know, managing your homework and so on. So have a think about how you can tap into the growing trend of people showing a lack of skills. And in your target market, what skills are people lacking? What can you be offering? What are you fabulous at that you thought was normal? Maybe it is things like meal planning. Maybe it is managing your time. So perhaps you can be helping people to learn those skills or to hold whole family conferences, teaching the whole family how to get along and so on. And look, I know of people who are skilled in parenting and organising who've helped people learn about family meetings, for instance. So there's a whole lot of things that you could be doing with this whole lack of skills trend. Any questions? No? Okay. Let's move on to trend number 4, and this is self-awareness. I think it's an ever-growing thing, thank goodness. I think the human race is evolving. We're becoming more self-aware. There's more awareness about self-awareness. There's more realisation that how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to one another affects our lives and so on. The actions we take, the habits that we form, impact us. And so there tends to be a sector of the community which is interested in improvement, self-improvement. That's why, of course, there's so many self-help books around and self-help blogs and self-help, podcasts and all sorts of things. But as far as organising goes, I've noticed that more people now who have challenges with organising, and I guess I'm talking about chronic disorganisation, meaning that it's been around for a long time. It's not just a result of a short-term transition in life, for instance. It's not just because they've just had a baby and now they have to get used to a whole lot of stuff in their home as well as new routines. It is more deep-seated, long-term chronic disorganisation. So people who have those sorts of challenges are looking for answers. They might have challenging organising styles. They might be a creative thinker who doesn't cope well with the traditional linear, straight up and down, this is how you organise kind of wisdom. They might have hoarding tendencies. They might have ADHD challenges. They might be on the autism spectrum, they might have OCD. So people who have these extra organising challenges are looking for specialist help. They want from us, they want to understand why this is happening to them. Why can't they get organised when everybody else around them seems to be able to? They're looking for understanding from us and, you know, a gentle approach or at least a knowledgeable approach. They're looking for strategies to help them. They're looking to change their long-term habits, or they might not have the problem, somebody else that they love does, and they're looking to help their loved ones with their challenges. So how can we help them? Well, first of all, if you're going to delve into these more in-depth challenges for organising, have a look at your qualifications. Get some specialist study under your belt and become a support person that's qualified and you know your specialty. Link to professionals. Now, even if you don't intend to work with people like that, it's good to link to other professionals. So it might be that you know someone who's fabulous at working with ADHD or someone with an autism spectrum disorder, a psychologist, etc. Link to professionals who can either help you or help the client involved. Give them long-term support. So this is what they're looking for. And it's an opportunity for us, and I've talked about this before, how one of the reasons that I love working with this kind of client is that you get to know them and you get to help them over a very long term. It's not a quick fix, see you later, we're done. It is a long-term relationship. And also, they might be looking for coaching. It's not always the hands-on stuff they want help with. It might just be coaching. So if they've got a particular challenge, this can be done via virtual consultation or in person, but they're looking for a more coaching approach rather than a hands-on approach. And that is a specialist skill in itself. People who are qualified as coaches, trained for many years and are really good at it and can really help people make quite a big difference. So have a think about how you would help. Are you interested in working with people who are looking for extra help? It might not be as challenging as working with hoarders, but certainly people who are self-aware, looking for some big changes in their habits, there's an opportunity for us to help there. I'll let you think about some questions while I tell you the next code word. The second code word is blue. Blue. The skies were blue in Melbourne today. Any questions? No? Okay. Moving on to our fifth trend, nostalgia. Now, a lot of people have said that 2016, this year, has been a horrible year. We've seen the deaths of many legends, you know, actors, singers, some massive names that we've grown up with are leaving us, and it reminds us of nostalgia for those good times. And it is, in general, maybe it's just that I'm getting older and noticing it, but there is a trend towards glorifying the past and feeling nostalgic and so on. Even Facebook gets us to look at the photos we posted a year ago and reminds us of our memories and so on. And memories are becoming a big commodity. And I think in part it's not just obviously that, you know, we're losing our legends. It's also that people are more environmentally aware. There's a fast pace of life, and all these other things are coming into play. So, you know, people are hanging on to their memories. They want to do it perhaps differently to buying things and hanging on to things. They want to cherish what they've got and curate a collection for themselves. So what do they want? They want to manage their photo collections. They want to manage their memorabilia collections. It might be things like old school photos and records. It might be their children's photos, school, you know, records and reports and all the artwork that they bring home and so on. People often want to get back to basics. So, you know, the 70s seems like a very cozy place to be for some people. They forget that, you know, they didn't have all the conveniences that we have today. But it seems, you know, it's a nostalgic thing. And they are people who are feeling nostalgic often turn to handcrafts as a way to connect with the past again. Knitting is back. Crocheting is back. You know, those sorts of older pastimes that they went out of favour for a while and they're back. Well, what does that mean for us? Craft supplies are always, you know, can be a nightmare to keep organised. That's a big opportunity for us. You know, people who are crafting can often get carried away with their enthusiasm for the craft and buy too much stuff, then figure out, well, what do I do with all this? I'm going to need some help to either get it organised or declutter it or whatever. So there's an opportunity for us. Yes, they want photo organising, and that has been a huge trend, especially in the last 12 months for organising. I've seen several of our APO members turn that way in their specialties, which is fabulous because now I know who to send the work to. And it's a really good opportunity for us. There's curating collections. Now, the collections don't have to be very monetarily valuable to be worth curating by our clients. It might just be, you know, somebody's war medals that they want help to find, display, etc. Some people might even want to put together a story behind the war medals. So you might find the war medals and somebody's war records and their diaries and the letters that they wrote back to home. And if we can pull out the important bits and get that in together so that it becomes more meaningful rather than having, you know, a whole room full of things that are disconnected and a lot of extra junk that gets along with all that. It reminds me of a particular collection I was going through, and it was my parents after they'd both passed away. And we found a whole collection of things that all the receipts and everything that they had from when they built their home back in, I'm going to say, 1965. So it was a good while ago. Now, it would have been silly for me to keep every single bit of paper because there were several receipts from, you know, deliveries of soil or deliveries of bricks or whatever. So it didn't make sense. I don't need to keep every one of them. I just kept a few. So that's curating the collection. I've talked about the craft organising, but also along with that is small space workrooms. So a lot of people lust after, I've noticed this with my clients, they crave a space that they can call their own, a little haven that they can venture into, and it's all set up. It might be that they want to put the baby into bed and in the afternoon get into the craft room just for an hour so that they can have that time doing what they love doing. In reality, what is it? It's a junk room when we get there. So that might be something that you can look into, offering your clients creating craft spaces out of small spaces so that they can be set up and really get, oh my goodness, imagine the joy someone would get out of having that set up for them. Any questions about the nostalgia trend? No. Okay. The final trend I want to talk about is... Oh, a question.
Sorry. Yes, yes, I have to unmute it.
That's okay.
With the craft rooms, because they can be huge.
Yes.
Like, massive. Thank you. Do you have any suggestions on where you could look up, like, a great product resources for that kind of thing, or is it just anything that you can grab and put together?
I have seen some really good stuff. I don't know the name of it. What I have seen is everyday storage units, like maybe the cube, you know, those cube bookshelves that you can get either from IKEA or even Target or, you know, the hardware store. It doesn't have to be too sturdy because usually craft supplies aren't that heavy. And I've seen them used in really creative ways. So either using the full height of a wall to be storage, or by putting them back to back, and these are low ones, a low one back-to-back in the middle of a room with a big tabletop on top, which creates a really big workspace with lots of little pockets of storage all around. The other thing that I've found really useful for a craft room is to use the full height and to keep things as visible as possible and to be able to reach them. One of the very first clients I had was a real, she was a pocket-sized little person, and it was her craft room slash home office that we were working in. Now, she had this awesome, enormous big cork board, but it was set up on the wall above her desk. So the desk was against the wall, and this big cork board was there, and it looked really good, but it was absolutely useless because... it was too small to be able to reach it, let alone, you know, be putting ideas on it or samples or anything. So very simply, we moved it to a different wall where she could walk right up to it, and we brought it the height down, and she suddenly was able to use this in a whole new way.
Okay.
So think about using the height but making it accessible for people.
Well, I guess what I was... more so is like the little things. You know, craft rooms, they've got so many little things.
Little things of many categories.
Yes.
Yep. So keeping things visible in clear containers or really good labels is good. Keeping things... Now, if you've got any kind of wall space and an opportunity to put a little... very narrow shelf on it, ledge.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, like, for instance, if you've got stamps, rubber stamps, or hole punch things, you know, you can line them all up there on a narrow shelf so that things aren't getting lost behind behind that row. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got that, if you've only got, you know, if you've got to use more depth in the shelf, I would try to use containers as much as possible and keep things visible so that you might have to pull out a whole container that uses the full depth of the shelf, but you know that, you know, in there is wool or in there is, it might be rubber stamps or, you know, a thread or whatever.
Okay.
Keep it visible as much as possible. And this is a brilliant idea. If you've got built-in robes in that craft room, get the doors off the hinges if the client's willing, so that people can see it all at a glance. If the client's not willing, it might be that they want to be able to shut off things. But, you know, if they do open it, they want to be able to see the whole collection of things that they've got there.
Okay. Thank you.
No worries. Okay. So, number six trend is the fashion trend. Now, of course, fashion is always trending. But in organising, what I've noticed for us is that people are connecting the two concepts of being fashionable and being organised. They're connecting it a lot more than they ever have before. So people want to be able to see what's in their wardrobe, have capsule wardrobes, so they're not spending a lot of money on things that don't go together. They want to have mix and match types of things. They want the, as I said, combined services. So if you're clever with fashion, go ahead and do a little study perhaps on the, you know, people's styles and colours and things like that that work for them. And if you're not that clever, team up with somebody who is. So I work with an image consultant. She knows her stuff and we often refer to each other. You know, sometimes I'll go in first and help someone declutter, and I could be getting things out of the cupboard like weights, Christmas decorations, you know, ski gear that doesn't belong in there, that sort of thing, so that then she can go in and help the person work on just their clothes. Or it'll be the other way around. She's gone in, helped them work on just their clothes, and now I come in and say, all right, this is what we're going to work with. Now let's organise it and use the space effectively. So if you're not the person that's clever doing that, team up with somebody who is, and offer a joint service maybe even. Maybe you could package something up together. And then think about the whole array of wardrobe services. So it might be sourcing the clever pull-out drawers and the jewellery containers and the ways to store shoes and, you know, the how to be organised, you know, in the morning and be able to leave the house fully put together and so on. There's more to getting dressed in the morning than just selecting clothes. You know, you can help somebody have a wardrobe that supports their quick decision making when the kids are pulling at your skirt and, the, you know, all that other stuff is going on. You're a winner. People want to set up the wardrobe quickly or have it done for them so that they can go in and, you know, select from all their skirts and so on. And they also will be open to annual reviews and seasonal reviews. So if you know that somebody is aware of their colours and the style that suits them and all of that, and if they're fashion conscious, they will want to keep up with the trends. But how do you keep up with a trend as well as keep your wardrobe decluttered? You hire an organiser to come quarterly or annually or any time in between. So stay in touch with anybody you're doing a wardrobe makeover with and offer that service to them. Make sure they know that you're not just in and out, that you're there ongoing. It's a bit like getting your eyebrows waxed, I think. You know, for a while you can keep plucking away, but eventually you've got to have the line redrawn and get that done by a professional. So, any questions about the fashion organising? No. Okay, I'm going to give you the third code word, and then I'm going to open it up for general Q&A about trends in general, and then I'll tell you what to do with the code words and let you know about our next teleclass. The third code word is purple. One of my favourite colours, and it's in my logo, purple. I love the colour purple. And so did Oprah Winfrey, I think. Okay, Q&A. Has anybody got a question in general about trends, what to look out for, any of the other trends that we've talked about tonight? No? That's okay. I want to say thank you for listening. Good luck with your trends. I hope 2016 was not a horrible year for you. I hope it was great. I hope 2017 is even better. The next class that I'll present is on January the 24th, and it is about making it a value add year. You'll hear about why I've chosen that topic, but it's a great start to the year and how you see your services and how you service your clients in a bit of a different way. And send your code words along with the subject line in the subject line, right, what's trending. Send your code words to me at angela@creatingorder.com.au. All the best for Christmas, New Year, all the exciting things to come. And thanks for being on the call.